The Tosfos on Nun Hey on the base, the bottom Tosfos, quotes a Gemara from Masechet Shabbos, where it says on Daf Pei, if a person carries a Chatzi Shir, then he carries another Chatzi Shir on Shabbos, the Heviro Derech Olov, and he carries the second Chatzi Shir directly above the first one. Like this, here's the first Chatzi Shir, then he carries the second one. So Tosfos says, why does he have to carry the second one Derech Olov? The Gemara Bayas has a Machlokes HaTanoim. Do the two Chatzoi Shir have to land up in the same Rishus, even in a different Rishus? But nobody on our Gemara says that it's only Mitztarif. The second Chatzoi Shir is only Mitztarif with the first Chatzoi Shir to have a Derech Olov. Why do you have to carry it over? So Tosfos says, Anachanami, it's not necessary. And our Gemara is the Machlokes, but it has to be into the same Rishus or even into a different Rishus. Eved Derech Olov is a different Chiddush. That the Gemara says there in Shabbos, a question among the Tanoim. Whenever you do Haitzoy, you have to do an Akira from one Rishus and a Hanocha in the other Rishus. What if I didn't do the Hanocha? What if I carried it above the Rishus and I kept on walking? So that's a machlokes HaTanoim. When they say Kluta Kemisha Huncha Dam Yonah, the fact that I walked into the other Rishus, from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid, or from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, maybe I should say the fact that the object of Haitzor, the Chayfetz that I'm carrying, is Niklat into the other Rishus, maybe that's considered enough of a Hanocha Kluta. We don't pass in Kluta Kemisha Huncha Dam. Then the Tanoim who don't believe in Klutik Mishuncha, so there's a Machlokes HaTanoim, is it only if it's Niklat in a Rishus HaYochid, because there are Mechitzas around it, or even if it's a Niklat in a Rishus HaRabim? Rabbi Kiva holds even in a Rishus HaRabim, they'll say Klutik Mishuncha Dam. And then there are Tanoim hold halfway like Rabbi Kiva, only Niklat in a Rishus HaYochid. That's called Nikla, because it's Mukav Mechitzas. Rishus HaRabim is not Mukav Mechitzas. Then there's one opinion, you only say Klute Kemishon Chadamia if it's Rishus HaYachim Bekure, if it has a roof, it has walls and it has a roof. Different verb. We don't pass in any of that. We don't accept Klute Kemishon Chadamia. So, but then the Gemara says, even though we don't accept Klute Kemishon Chadamia, but if I carry it low in my hand, and my hand is within three tochim to the ground, then I say something like Lovud. Pashta said that it's not the same din as Lovud. Tosfos points out that Lovud is really a din of Mechitzas. Because the Gemara says in Erevin and in Sukkah, the Gemara has a tradition that Shiurin, Chatzitzin, and Mechitzin are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. All the different Shiurin, when it's something Kazais and Kebetzin, when it's something Dalanamnes, when it's something Vitvachim, Potvachim, all the different Shiurin. So Shiurin, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, Shiurin, Chatzitzin, the dinim of chatzitza, rubay makbid, rubashena makbid, and mechitzin. So mechitzin is halacha moshe m'sinai. The Gemara says, what aspect of mechitzin says halacha moshe m'sinai? That a mechitza has to have a minimum of 10 tefachim tall. So the Gemara says, according to some tanaim, you can figure that out based on the psukim. You don't need halacha moshe m'sinai. The Gemara explains the beginning of psukim how it's a machlokes HaTanoim. So the Gemara says, if you hold that the tzorech for yud tefachim doesn't really need halacha moshe m'sinai. So what is the halacha moshe m'sinai mechitzin? The Gemara says, no, for other aspects of mechitzin, good lovud and doifer akuma. So the Gemara seems to say that lovud is a detail within hilchas mechitzis. So you can't really apply lovud. The person is carrying from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, and because his hand is holding the object that's within three tochim to the ground, you say lovud. One lovud, what lovud? There's no mechitzis over here. Lovud is a din of mechitzis. So it's a psadin, a little bit similar to Lovud, but not necessarily identical to Lovud. So Tosfos says, the Gemara there in Shabbos Daf Pei is working on the assumption that even though you didn't do a hanocha, the object didn't land on the ground, if you carried it within three tochim to the ground, that you say something like Lovud, and it's considered a hanocha. So what if the object... The first chatzi shir, this looks like it has a big shir, but let's say this would be a chatzi shir. And I would carry this within three tefachim to the object, but it's not within three tefachim to the ground. So Tosfos said, that's the chiddush of the Gemara, habira derech olah. If I carry the second chatzi shir, and I keep on going, I never made a hanocha, but it's lovud to the first chatzi shir, despite the fact that it's not lovud to the karka, that's enough to be considered a hanocha. That's what Tosfos interprets in the Gemara. So the first time we left that out. Yesh loyman, the third line in the Tosfos, Dima mascha behele mechot chayiv, anun heim et beis. So the third line to it says, "V'yesh loymar." Why does the Gemara say, "Habir a derech olov"? Vade below derech aleh also chayiv. Our Gemara says, if it lands in even a different rishus harabim, or in this rishus harabim, different place, vade nok a derech olov. La'ashmina to teach me the chiddush. Mehavet derech gimel tefachim lachatzi grogis hamanachas that is chayiv misa chayiv chilu shabbos. Avkap the loy habit derech gimel tefachim to the karka. If it's lovud, so to speak, lovud to the first chatzi shir, is also good. Okay, that you have to learn that Gemara and Shabbos. What kind of din is that? If you say like this, is that lovud is only a din in mechitzas, it's not a din that whenever one thing is considered, whenever one thing is within three tefachim, another thing is considered as if it's touching. There is, Tosfos claims there is no such din. That's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. When you make kinyan hakavah, how high do you have to pick the chayfetz up? So Tosfos says it's a Gemara in the end of Eir. You pick it up, tefach, one tefach. Let's say you have to pick up the lulav and the esrig. Let's say you don't pick up the lulav and the esrig. Let's say the esrig is on the table, and I hold the esrig is on the table and sitting keder kedil osam, and I hold the esrig. Am I yoytzei? Or you have to do hagbor. So the pashta is you have to pick it up. You have to pick up the esrig. It's not enough if it's sitting on the table. You have to pick it up. How high do you have to pick it up? So Tosfos shows from the Gemara, Hagbo is always one tefach. And Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, Hakinyan Hagbo, in order to be koine b'Hagbo, you need gimel tefach, because otherwise it'll be lovud. So Tosfos argues with Rashi, lovud is a din of mechitzas. There is no such. One shear, the shear of a tefach, you need one tefach. That's the definition of Hagbo. Rashi also agrees with that. So Rashi, in certain cases, but not in all cases, the Rashi require gimel tefachim. Rashi in Baba Kama says, if you're zeichem and a hefker, then it's enough hagbo tefach. If someone else owns it now, and you want to make a kinyan hagbo, so the first you have to be moitzi for the rishus of the Marakama, then you can be machnis into your own rishus. So to be moitzi for the rishus of the Marakama, for that you need gimel tefachim. But if the thing is hefker, there is no Marakama. All you need to do is hagbo. Rashi agrees there. So Gemara and Baba Kama, Rashi agrees that a tefach is enough. Okay, so you gotta have to learn that Gemara and Shabbos about klutik mishun chadam. You're fine. Okay, so we learned the Gemara nun vavam beis, famous Gemara. Remember a few years ago, the yeshivas sent me to Eretz Yisrael to visit all the different yeshivas during intercession. So one night I came back from giving a shiur somewhere. It was something like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And then they used to put us up in the Plaza Hotel. Now they put us up, when the Rebbe's there, they put us up in the dormitory, in the Gru Center. But years ago, they used to put us up in the Plaza Hotel. So I come into the building around 10:30 at night. So there's a whole group of Balabatim from America speaking English. I say Shalom Aleichem to the rabbi. He says to me, what are you doing here? So I say, I'm visiting all the yeshivas. He says he's here with, he calls it his safari trip. Every year, in the middle of the year, around December 25th, between December 25th and January 1st, a lot of people take off from work. So he's here with a whole group of people, modern people. He got them to learn for a week. So he takes them every day to a different yeshiva, and they're learning the topic of Dova Velechotzi Dova. So I said, oh, Baba Basa Dafnu and Bob says, how do you know? I said, what do you mean, how do I know? What's such a secret? Dafnu and Bob, Dova Velechotzi Dova. So he asked me if I could give them a shiur. So the next day I gave him a shiur, why not? A cheerful topic, Nun Vav Amebe, says, Dova Velechotzi Dova. You learned the four opinions, famous, the four shitas. We don't pass on like a Rebbe Kiva, we pass on like the Mishnah. But where does Dava Velechatzi Dava apply? So those were the four shitas, the Rif and the Tosfos and the Rashbam, all the different Rishonim. Okay. Now there's a Gemara has a new Nun Zainam and Aleph is a totally new topic. Totally new topic. Ahush Tara, once upon a time, the top line, Nunza, I think that's what we're up to. Once upon a time there was a Shtar Davi Chasim Alei Beitre, two signatures on the bottom of the Shtar. That's the way it's supposed to be. What's the din of a Shtar Be'ed Echon? If I have a Shtar Halvoa signed by one witness that says that you borrowed money from me, and you say you never borrowed money, so I'll make Kiyum Ashtar, and it's considered like I have Eid Echad, and you deny it, so you have to swear a Shvuah Daraisa. There are three Shvuah Daraisa, Shvuah by the Mikzah, Shvuah Eid Echad. I say you owe me $1,000, you deny it, then I have an Eid Echad. It says that you owe me $1,000. So then you're not believed unless you swear Lahak Chishas Eid Echad. So that's if an Eid Echad comes Balpeh. What if it's Eid Echad Bishtar? Eid Echad Bishtar has the same tokef, the same strength as Eid Echad Balpeh. Or maybe you should say, no, it's Exeris HaKosu, that the Shtar has to have two Eid. Shtar has one Eid Echad, is worthless. What do you mean Exeris HaKosu? Where is there Exeris HaKosu? In Yirmiyah. The Jewish people mistreated Yirmiyah. They threw him into prison. They'll show you where the prison is. Below the ground, they'll show you where the prison is. So he gets a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think it's the Haftarah of Parshas Behar, if I'm not mistaken. He gets a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his cousin, who lives in Anasos, I guess it's a city in Eretzel somewhere, I'm not familiar, his cousin is going to come. And the cousin is broke because the Babylonian armies are about to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. And there's no food, and there's no gasoline. And the price goes up $1,000 a pint of gasoline, whatever. And everything is crazy. So your cousin is going to come to you. He's in need of money. He wants to sell his field in the city Anasos, which is absolutely worthless. Because the Babylonians are about to conquer the whole country, so they're going to send everybody into Golas Bavel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yirmiyah Nevuah, you should buy the field from your cousin, and you should write two shtaris on it. Sefer HaGolah, Sefer means, like Kosol Sefer Krisis, it doesn't mean a book. Sefer means a shtar, a get. Sefer Krisis means a shtar for divorcing, for getting divorced. Sefer Gerushin. Sefer Krisis means a shtar gerushin. We call it a get. Strictly speaking, the word get means a shtar. Even a shtar mammon is also called a get. But in Yiddish, in modern language, we only refer to a shtar gerushin as a get. The other one we call a shtar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us you should make two shtaris. Make a Sefer HaGoloi and a Sefer HaChosim. Sefer HaGoloi is a shtar, a get poshut. Here, the last parak is parak get poshut. What is get poshut all about? So get poshut is a shtar. That's written on one side of the page, has a few lines, then it has two signatures on the bottom. And sefer hachasum means you write that's a what does the Gemara call it there? A get mekusha. There's a get poshut and a get mekusha. What do you mean a get mekusha? So you write the different opinions. So you write a few lines, then you fold it over, then you sew it up, stitch it up so no one sees what it's at. Then you have one signature sign on the back. Then you write another couple of lines. You didn't finish writing the shtar. It's 10 lines, a whole bunch of conditions written. Write another couple of lines, then you fold that over, and then you stitch that up, and you have a second witness sign on the back. Then you have you write another couple of lines, you have, and then you fold it over, and then you stitch that up, and then you have the third witness signed on the back. So Yirmiyah Novi is instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to write two shtars, a sefer, a get poshut, a shtar megula, and a get mekusher, a get that's sewn up and you can't see what's written inside. Which he does. And then he's told, v'hoyed all of Eden, get witnesses to sign on the both shtaris. The Gemara says there's a pasuk in Chumash al pishnei edim al pishlosh edim yop medover. He said there are two pesukim. Al pishnei edim al pishlosh edim yumas hameis. By din in the first it says shnayim, and by din in mamis you learn dover dover mimamin. Ki motza ba'ervas dover. You need two edim to say eshes ish zinsa. How do you know? Because it says the husband has had a divorce. Says what? Ki motza ba'ervas dover. He ascertained that she was mizana. She's a soik labada asur labaylo. So you learn how dover dover mimamin from the other pasuk. Al pishnei edim al pishlosh edim. Yochum Dover. So the Gemara assumes that that posse, Yochum Dover, is talking about Dini Mominus. So the Gemara, the Mishnah and Makkas in the first parak raises a question. Why does it say Al Pishnaim, Eidim, Al Pishlosh, Eidim? In Miskayem, so Eidis Pishnaim, Lama Parth Locha Kosa Bishlosha. What's the need to mention that if you have three Eidim is good? If you have two Eidim is good. So three Eidim is Yesh Bechalal Masayimon, of course it's good. So the Mishnah says, that there's a din of korban pasul, and that if you need actually a zomakulam, a whole bunch of dinim, a whole bunch of dinim. And to say the nitpalo b'aver also is punished. The first two witnesses that testified falsely, they weren't even there. The whole story, man ha'yisim, the whole thing is a lie. They weren't there when they claimed the guy was Ovid Avid Azar. So, all right, so the first two who testified, they deserved the death penalty because they were planning, they were attempted murder. They were trying to kill a guy. Turns out the last minute, the Adam came to be a Muslim, and then we didn't kill the fellow. So the first two deserved the death penalty. The third one, he's just like the fifth wheel on the truck. He didn't need the third one. So the third person who testified that the guy's Chayav Misa, he's a Nitpal over Avera. The first two are the ones who are, it's going to be Nigmar Din because of the first two. Third one, one could have argued the point that he doesn't deserve any punishment. So that's why he says, L'hakish lo shalishnaim, that he even punished the third one. The Mishnah in Makkas gives you all the dinim that are based on the fact that it says shnaim shalosh, but it says in both psukim. It says it both by nefoshes and by mominus. So what do you need a pasuk by mominus? So the Gemara says in the beginning of Get Poshet, the last parak here, get the alpishlosha edim, alpishnei edim, alpishlosha edim, yachm dover. Shlosha Eidim means in a get makusha, you have to have a minimum of three Eidim. A get poshet is enough with two Eidim, and a get makusha needs three Eidim. Shine. Then the Gemara said, what are you talking about? The whole institution of get makusha is only a takona de rabbanon. Because apparently Kohanim are hot-headed people. Any Kohanim here? Are they more temperament? They have a bigger temper than anybody else. I don't know. So Kohanim are hot-headed. And he may get angry at his wife, and just in 5 minutes he'll arrive at get and give the get to his wife and goodbye and good luck. Then he's going to have charata. So once he divorces his wife, not allowed to marry even grusha satsmo. Not only is a kohen not permitted to marry a grusha who was married to someone else, even if he himself divorced her, doesn't really say explicitly in the Chumash. A couple of centuries ago, that was a big argument in Europe that people had to get married by the clergyman of their faith. So there was a Jewish fellow who was a shegit, so a wise guy. He had divorced his wife, and he was a kohen. They wanted to remarry her, so the rabbanim wouldn't be misad kedushin. So he sued the rabbi in secular court on religious persecution, whatever. He said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "There is no such din. In the Chumash, there's a din. A kohen not allowed to marry a grusha. Was married to someone else, but if she was married to me, what's wrong if I remarry her?" So the rabbi somehow succeeded in convincing the judge that the Torah Shebaal Peh is correct. Okay. They say that Mendelssohn was involved, Moshe Mendelssohn, who was, they view him as the one who started the Reform movement in Europe, the times of the Chassam Sofer. He defended the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Chassam Sofer in his Chubis says, we owe him a debt of gratitude. He said, we shouldn't read his books. It's all full of apikursis. But he said, we owe him a debt of gratitude that he defended the Torah Shebaal Peh on this one issue. They used to call him Rav Moshe Dessau. He lived apparently in the city of Dessau. So he writes Ramad Reish Mem Dalet. The Besivri Ramad Al Tish Luchu Yad. That's what some soldier writes. He's not allowed. You shouldn't read his books. But we owe him a debt of gratitude that he defended the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the so the Gemara says that the Chachamim invented this Yesh Mayai, this whole institution of a get mekusher, when a kohen wants to get divorced, so we recommend to him he shouldn't have a normal get. We should stall off a little bit. Maybe the husband will calm down. So instead of taking 10 minutes, it'll take longer to write the get the kusher. You have to have 3 witnesses and so on. The Gemara says, no, the whole thing is all in asmachta. There is no such din in that term. So where does it say that you have to have, where does it say, according to, if that would have been the real pshat in the pasuk, al pishnai eidim, yu mesameis, that's lahakishnaim v'shnosha, lahakishlosha v'shnaim. But the reason why it's repeated by Mammon, al pishnai eidim, al pishlosha eidim, yokim dover, so that's in order to teach you, the Gemara thought, that's in order to teach you this din. That a get makusha, shtar makusha needs 3 eidim, and a sefer hagola, a get pashut, is enough for 2 eidim. So that's the Gemara on Kuf Samacham Adais. That's the first piece of Gemara, Perek get pashut. Then the Gemara says, that can't be. That's not the pshat. The whole institution of get makusha is a takara de rabbanon, because the kohanim were hot-headed and so on. You can't have a pasuk on that. The whole thing is an asmachta. So where is there a pasuk that says that you need 2 eidim signing on a shtar? So the Gemara says, v'hoyer all of eidim, on kuf samach amanal. Yirmi anavi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, your cousin is going to come from the city of Anasos, and he's going to ask you to buy his field, because he's broke, he has no money. So I tell you, go buy his field, and fill out 2 shtars, sefer hagodla, sefer hachosam, and so on. And then after the Navi Yirmiyah does it, so he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't make any sense. I did what you instructed me to do. A religious Jew does the mitzvah even if he thinks it doesn't make any sense. Avraham Avinu was instructed, he thought he was instructed to shecht his son. And he was told previously, Ki b'Yitzchak k'kor l'chazera. Yitzchak is going to be the one to carry over, not Yishmael. Yitzchak is going to carry over your tradition of monotheism to the next generation. So my HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Haleh Hashem li'oilom, that clearly contradicts the first Nevuah. Avraham Avinu is about to do the Akedah, though, because he understood Haleh Hashem li'oilom. Either Kasha in his mind, it doesn't make any sense. Kasha is a Kasha. After he finishes the whole Akedah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tishlo Yadchal Anar, then Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash, then Avraham Avinu says, I don't understand, what did you tell me in the first place? What is this all about? It doesn't make any sense. But he didn't ask the kasha in advance. A religious Jew does the mitzvah even if he doesn't understand why. If it's clear to him that this is the din. That's what Yirmiyah Navi does. Rav Soloveitchik point that out. The two are the same. Avraham Avinu does, even though it absolutely doesn't make any sense. Yirmiyah Navi also, he buys the field and he fills out the 2 shtoris, and it absolutely doesn't make any sense. The whole land is about to be conquered by the Kazdim, or it's Nitan Biara Kazdim, Babylonian armies, and the real estate is absolutely worthless. They're all going to be sent into Golas Bavel. So what is he filling out the shtoris for? What is he buying the land for? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, this is a simon to Klal Yisrael, they shouldn't give up hope, they shouldn't be Messiah. It's only going to be for 70 years, then they're going to come back. When you come back, you're going to take this land. So put it in a satam bichli cheres, put the shtoris in a container that leman yamdu yamim rabim, it should last for a long time. And there should be a siman to Bnei Israel that they should know that they're all going to come back after 70 years, and there'll be a yishuv, that Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, everything will be fine. So that pasuk says, v'hoyer olav edim, you should have witnesses signed. So that's 2 days in Tosis. Maybe that's a Gzeres HaKosuv, that a shtar needs 2 eidim. Maybe a shtar Beir Echod doesn't have the tokef of Beir Echod. Maybe even though Beir Echod Bal Peh, if I say I lent you $1,000, you say you didn't, not true, and I have an Beir Echod testifies that I'm telling the truth, you're only believed to be Kofer HaKol if you swear L'Hakash HaSayid Echod. But if I have only an Beir Echod B'shtar, maybe Beir Echod B'shtar is worthless. If I get the Erechot to come in person, if he's still alive, if I get him to come and testify that he remembers that I did lend him money, so then Pliny, the Nitva, will have to swear. Because when I only have a shtar, maybe shtar Erechot is worthless. The only thing time it has a status of a shtar is if it was written Midas HaMeschayev. If it's written Shloim Midas HaMeschayev, doesn't have a din of a shtar, then it's worthless. it's mipik sovim, and it has to have two edim. Shtar be'erech is no good. So that's 2 days in Tosfos, how to read a Gemara. What's a nafkamina? Whether it has a din of a shtar or not. So one nafkamina is, can erech et b'shtar, can he make the nitvas, where is shvodereis? Yeah. Another nafkamina is, the Shach and Choshe Mishpa quotes, when we learned Maseches Gittin, this was the introduction that Rav Soloveitchik gave before we read the first line in the Mishnah. So he said, who's going to give me a definition of a shtar? Everybody looked at him like a crazy man. What do you mean? What do you need a definition of a shtar? You write down a piece, but no, he wants a sharp definition. We didn't know what he wanted. So he explained the Shach and Choshe Mishpa quotes the Machlokes when they go in him with the shtar de'ed echod. No, that's 2 days in Tosfos. The Shach and Choshe Mishpa has a similar machlokes, related, but not that. Shtach and machlokes, what is shtar b'ksav yadoi? What if I write, this is to ascertain that I owe you $100,000, and I sign on the bottom. So, ak shtar b'ksav yadoi, does that have the din of shtar min ha-Torah? Or do you say, no, it's a gzeres ha-kosev ha-oid ol ha-vedim. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah says it only has the status of a shtar if you have two edim. So he said, that's the machlokes, what's the definition of shtar? Is it raya b'ksav, that's written in Midas HaMizchai, or is it edis b'ksav, Midas HaMizchai? If it's edis b'ksav, then you need two edim. Hadoz Baldin has the same status as the value. Hadoz Baldin kimei edim dami, but it's not edim, it's kimei edim dami. So one opinion in the Shach is that a shtar b'ksav yada doesn't have a din of a shtar. So if the nitva, I have a shtar that's signed by you that says you owe me $100,000, and you say mezuyev. So usually if I have a shtar signed by two witnesses that you owe me $100,000, you say mezuyev. So min haTorah there's no need for kiyum hashtar. The Gemara says, eidim achstim al hashtar, nasa kemishin nechre dusim et bez, and the Gemara says that in the beginning of Gittin to explain why the need for kiyum hashtar is only b'derabbanan. Min haTorah you don't have to worry about mezuyev. But midirabbanan you need kiyum. So because midirabbanan you need kiyum, so that's why there are various kulas in kiyum hashtar. It's a whole bunch of kulas. But maybe kiyum hashtar is needed b'shtar b'ksav yadoi, maybe shtar de'ed echod, maybe it doesn't have a din of a shtar. So maybe there you need kiyum in atorah. Let's say I have two shtaris, each one only has eid echod. So maybe that doesn't have a din of a shtar at all. Maybe it doesn't have a din of a shtar at all. Maybe shtar b'ksav yadoi doesn't have a din of a shtar, that you should say the shtar is made on itself that it's kosher. But maybe then you would need kiyum hashtar min haTorah and you wouldn't be so mekel on the kiyum shtar. So that's the Shach has a machlokes from the Goyim, from the days of the Goyim, before the days of the Rishonim about that. What's the definition of shtar? Is it rai b'ksav medas ha-mischai? So even oidoz balvin, shtar b'ksav yadoi is also dini kishtar, so the whole need for kiyum hashtar is only the rabbanon. Or maybe the definition of shtar is edis b'ksav because of the pasuk b'hoyer all of edim. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyah Navi, get two witnesses to sign b'hoyer edim. Here, the last line on Kuf Samach Amar Aleph, that's the pasuk from Yirmiyah, b'hoyer all of edim. So maybe you need dafke edim. So there's an institution of kiyum hashtar. Everybody knows usually kiyum hashtar is only with the rabbanon. And there's a question, maybe kiyum hashtar by shtar b'ksav yadoi, maybe the need for kiyum hashtar there is min haTorah, you don't have kulas. How do you have a kiyum hashtar? So one way to have kiyum hashtar is it has two signatures there, Reuven and Shimon. So you call Reuven and Shimon to Bezdin, you ask them, do you remember signing the shtar? They look at it and say, yeah, we remember the whole story. So you don't need, you can throw the whole shtar out. Well, what do you need the shtar? You have Edim Balpeh. They remember the whole story Balpeh. Let's say the Edim don't remember this story. It's a story from 20 years ago. They don't remember this story. But they look at the signature. They say, that looks like it's my signature. Yes, I remember. That looks very much, each person has a unique handwriting, different from everybody else's. He says, it looks very much like my handwriting. So Reuven says, it looks like my handwriting. Shimon says, it looks like my handwriting. So that's good for kiyum hashtar. What if Reuven and Shimon are not alive? So then you go to the bank. The bank probably has copies of canceled checks that they submitted, that they deposited in the bank that were made out to their name. And then they sign on the back. or let's say if they went to school, so they went to universities, so some other professors may have old exams where they sign their name in English or Hebrew, whatever language they signed the Ishtar in. Fine. So that's also a Kiyum Ashtar, a valid Kiyum Ashtar. So the Gemara has a din, it's a funny din. Let's say the Ishtar has two signatures on it, Reuben and Shimon. So Reuben is alive, Shimon died already. So Reuben comes and he says, I don't remember this story, but it looks very much like my handwriting. So that's a Kiyum Ashtar on Reuben's Chasima. Then on Shimon's Chasima, Shimon died already, so he's not here to be able to say that it looks like my handwriting. So we're going to have two witnesses that are going to testify. So if you have Levi and Yehuda going to testify that Shimon's signature is authentic, it looks to them the way Shimon signed it then, the unique handwriting, so then Reuben was Mikhaim his own Chasima saying it looks very clearly like my signature, and Levi and Yehuda are Mikhaim Shimon's signature. What if Reuven, who was Neman on one of the two signatures, he says, that looks like it's my signature. He's one of the two witnesses who's Mekayim the Chasima for Shimon's name. He's going to say, I know what Shimon's handwriting looks like. I recognize it looks like Shimon's handwriting. And Yehuda, it's going to be Yehuda with Reuven are going to testify. So the Gemara says in Ksubis that's not acceptable. Why? Because the Torah says you have to have two Alpishnei Edim Yochum Dover, Apishnaim Edim Yumas Ameis. You have to have two Edim. So the understanding is that each one of the witnesses is believed on half of the story. Each one has the manas, each one is believed on half the story. But over here, Reuven is accomplishing half the story, then he's accomplishing half on the other Chasima. He said, this looks like my handwriting, and I recognize Shimon's, it looks like Shimon's handwriting. So you're being Moitzi Mamen based on two witnesses, Reuven and Yehuda. But Reuven is believed on three-quarters of the case. That's what the Gemara calls Nafik Naki River de Mamayna Puma Dechad. Our Gemara doesn't have that case. Our Gemara has a different case. Here, Tosis this. The Tosis on Nun Zainam and Aleph Hocha Nafik Naki River de Mamayna. So the Gemara says, if three-quarters of the case is being resting on the testimony of one of the two witnesses, Reuben said this looks like my handwriting, and Levi and Yehuda say that looks like Shimon's handwriting. So that's good. Half of the Kiyum Ashtar is accomplished by Reuben, and the other half is accomplished by Levi and Yehuda. That's okay. But if Reuben is going to say this looks like my handwriting, and it looks to me that's Shimon's handwriting, and then Yehuda is going to come and say, also, it looks to him like Shimon's handwriting. So 75% of the case is being taken care of by one of the two witnesses, by Reuben. So that's not acceptable. We ever have such a thing on the level of the Raisa, it doesn't exist. The whole concept, Naki River de Mamoina, Naki means minus. The whole case, minus 25%, River de Mamoina, one quarter of the Mamon. The whole case, minus one quarter, 75% of the case, is resting on the testimony of the one witness. So the Gemara says in Ksuba said that's not acceptable. So what do you do in such a case? So the Gemara says simple. Tell Reuben, instead of him testifying, this looks like my handwriting, give him a piece of paper and ask him, sign your name 10 times. So he's going to sign 10 times. Sometimes they ask me to write a letter of support for some organization or another. So I write the letter, they type it, and then they want to put my signature on the bottom. So I'll sign my name 10 times on a piece of paper. I say, whichever signature looks best. So superimpose it on the letter and shine. Because sometimes you write your signatures sloppier than other times. It's always sloppy, but sometimes it's sloppier than other times. So sometimes they want after the sloppy signature, sometimes they want the neater signature, right? So if Reuven is going to say, this is my signature, it looks like my signature, and it's going to say, it looks like to me like Shimon's signature, and then Yehuda's going to say, yeah, it looks like Shimon's signature, so that's a problem. Naki River, the Mamayna, is being solved, Apuma Dachad, based on Erecha, that's not acceptable. On the level of Darcy, you never have such a case. On the level of Rabbanah, Fakim Shtaros, you have So that's not allowed. So the Gemara says over here, such a similar din, if you have Naki Riva de Mamayna, based on testimony of two brothers. So what do you do in such a case? With Reuven and Shimon, what do you do? So the Gemara says there in Ksuvas, let the Bezdin should tell Reuven, just sign your name 10 times. And then we're going to, we won't show him the shtar. We'll say, sign your name 10 times, and we're going to make Dimoy HaChasimas. We're going to compare. So we're going to look at the shtar where it has Reuven's name. I'm going to look at the way he signed his name 10 times on the piece of paper. And it looks, you see all the shinuyim between the 10 times that he signed. So the signature on the shtar can fit in with the other 10 signatures. So that's a kiyum hashtar. That's a kiyum hashtar without him opening his mouth. He doesn't give any nemonis. He doesn't say anything about the signature. You don't even show him his signature on the shtar. Because you know it's going to be 75% of the case is going to be resolved based on his nemonis, so we don't. So you make a kiyum hashtar on Reuven's signature based on dimoy hachasimas, comparing the handwritings. And then on the other one, so he'll say, I recognize it looks to me like Shimon's signature. And Yehuda will say, it looks to me like Shimon's signature. On the other one, you have two witnesses testifying. They're both good. And on Reuven's signature, we made the kiyum based on dimoy hachasimas. So the same thing the Gemara says over here. Just like there's a din, you can't have Naki Riva de Bamoina Puma de Chad. You can't have 75% of the case is resting on the testimony of one witness. So too you cannot have Naki Riva de Bamoina. 75% of the case should be resolved Apuma de Ache based on two brothers. You can't have that. So therefore what's the case? Nachama Hushtar, what's again the case? Ushtar de Havichasime Ale Beitre. Shoch v'chad b'nayu, one of them died. Osa achua dehai dekoi, v'chad achrin el asudei achasimas yodei deidach. There are two signatures on the shtar. So one of the Adam died. One of them is still alive. So one is alive says, yeah, that's my handwriting. So, and then He's going to say, on the other handwriting, who's not related to him, he's going to say, it looks to me like his signature. And then you're going to have another Eid Echad. What's the case again? Shoch v'chad menai, osa achua dahai dekoi, v'chad achu, Reuven says, you have Reuven and Shimon signed the shtar. They're not related to each other. So Reuven comes and he says, that looks like my handwriting. Shimon's handwriting, I don't know. I'm not familiar. So now, Reuven, who identified his signature, his brother comes and he says, I was friendly with Shimon. I was his teacher in school, whatever. He always used to submit papers, or I work in the bank, and I always saw the way he signed on the back of the checks. Show me the shtar. So the brother of Reuven is going to say, yeah, that looks to me like Shimon's handwriting. It's authentic. So the brother with Yehuda are going to say, on Shimon's signature, that is good. So just like there's a din in Ksubas that Tosfos quotes, you cannot have Naki Riva de Mamayna, Puma de Chad. You can't have 75% of the Eidus accomplished by one person. You have to have 50% by one Eid, 50% by the other Eid. So too, you cannot have Naki Riva de Mamayna, Apuma da'ache. You can't have 3/4 of the case should rest on the testimony of two brothers. Reuven is going to say, he'll identify this is my signature, and Reuven's brother is going to say, he'll identify the signature of Shimon together with another person. If the person says, this is my handwriting, you don't need two people. He's believed to say, this is my handwriting. If he says it's on someone else's handwriting, so then you have to have two aid. So if Reuven says on his handwriting, this is my handwriting, and then Reuven's brother is going to say together with Yehuda on Shimon's handwriting, that's authentic. So the Gemara says that'll be a problem of Naki Riva de Mamayna Puma de Treyachi. That should be no good. So Tosfos says you can solve the problem, just like the Gemara Ksuvas says you can solve the problem. Instead of Reuven testifying that this is my handwriting, the Bezim will realize what the problem is. So they'll give Reuven a piece of paper and say, sign your name 10 times. Then the Bezim will compare the Hasimah. So Reuven doesn't have to testify at all. You make the Kiyum HaShtar based on Dimoy HaHasimahs. And then Reuben's brother with Yehuda will be able to testify on Shimon's handwriting. Just like the Gemara Ksuvos resolved the issue, so too over here you can resolve the issue here. Shai. Okay. So funny din. It never exists on the level of the Raisa. You don't have such a thing. Only on a din the Rabban. So they invented a new psul the Rabban. Yeah. Yeah, that what?
That this din is based on the pasuk of Alpi Shnayim Edim.
Yeah.
He made up his dasha.
That's the mashmas of the pasuk is like that, but it never exists on a level of the Raisa. The case never happens. The only time it happens is by Kiyum Shtar. Kiyum Shtar is only by the Rabbanan. Yeah, it's an Asmachta. I think it's only an Asmachta. Okay, good. Most of the din are Kiyum Shtar is in the second parak in Ksubis. Gans and Egemar is there. Why do you need two psukim teaching you the same thing? I don't know. That's a good question. Because you have it both by mamonis and by nefashas, so wouldn't it be sufficient with one pasuk? I don't know. That is a good question. Don't know. Have to look more gemaras. Okay. So we made up. We're going to learn. That's the way to make a siyum. You skip to the list. Many rabbanim on Erev Pesach. That's how they make a siyum. They learn the first page in Bava Basra, then they learn the last five lines and they make a scene. Yeah. Okay, so what's the first wide line on Samach Amud Beis? Tana Rabbanan. It says in the Braisa, Lo Yosed Odom is Beis HaBesid. You're not allowed to have white plaster on the wall because it's very beautiful and it looks very lovely. And after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we should all observe Avelus. Shouldn't have too nice a home. You mixed in into the cement, you mixed in a little sand, chol, or you mixed in a little tevin. So then it's not going to be so white. So then it's going to be off-white. So then it's okay. Not so beautiful. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Here, by chol, I raise it, trucks it, then it's awesome. That is nice. However, if you mix in tevin, then it's mutter. Disagrees with the Tanakhama. Only if he mixed in Tevin is a Mutta, mixed in Chol is not Mutta. Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Kishachar Rabbais Bishniya, after the destruction of the second base Hamigdash, Rabbar Prushim Yisrael, Prushim are the Hasidim, Tzadikim, that they avoid anything that looks like an Issa. Okay. So Rabbar Prushim Yisrael, Shalalach Abbasim Shalish Tisei. They thought it's not right to have Basav Yai. We have the right to eat meat and drink wine if we give Karbanas takodesh bocha that consists of meat and wine. But if they're not giving any karbanas, what right do we have to eat basa v'yayin? Nit b'lehem Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Shua lived at the time of Churban Habayis. So he is going to deal with them. Amar lehem banai. V'pnei ma i'atem ochem basa v'ein atem shoysim yayin. What do you have? What's the reason? Amar loy. Nochal basa shemenim akrim agavi ha'mizbeach v'ashav batel. That's not right, but you don't give HaKadosh Baruch Hu basa, so what right do we have to eat basa? We don't give any nisach hayayin, we don't give the Baruch Shalom any wine, so what right do we have to drink wine? You should need bread. So they said, okay, so we won't eat bread. Efshe b'peris, we can eat fruits. So then he said, no, peris l'anochel also, washik v'abotlu bikurim, we don't bring any bikurim. So they said, "Efshe beperis achem." That bikurim is on the noig b'shivas haminim, so we can survive with other minim. Then he said, "Maim la nishta." We can't drink any water. Shekar batal nisach hamayim. So Tosis points out that nisach hamayim has to be from a mayon. Has to be from a mei hamayon. Megushomim is not good. It has to be from an underground source. There are two kinds of mikveh in the Chumash. There's a mikveh and there's a mayon. A mikveh is from the rainwater or the melted snow that rolls down the mountainside. And a mayan is when the source of the water is from under the ground. The Gemara knew in the Tainus, in the first parak, the Tanaim knew that there's a water cycle. All the water in the world is from the rain. The water comes down and it evaporates, goes up, comes down, goes up, comes down. All the water, all the water that comes from underground sources also comes from the rain. Everything comes from the rain. But if it flows under the ground long enough, that's a question, how long does it have to flow? When the rain comes down into the ocean, then it goes under the ground for a couple of miles, so then it shoots up in a mayan, so that has a din of a mayan. A different dinam, a mikra mayan, a different dinam. Azav. Azav can only be toivel on a mayan. It can't be toivel on a mikra. Everybody else's tummy can either be toivel on a mikra or on a mayan. But azav needs dafke a mayan. There's certain other halachas, but need dafke may mayan. So for nisuch hayayin, you need dafke may mayan. So the Tosfos says, yeah, but water is water. It's all the H2O. The only question is, if it flows on. All the water comes from the rain, and then if it flows under the ground long enough and it shoots up in a mayan, so then it has a din of a mayan, a different din of tefillah. But basically, it's all the same H2O. It's the same water. So if you're going to prohibit using drinking water today because we no longer observe the mitzvah of nisach hamayim, then you should prohibit all water in the world. Not only may mayanis, even make shamim also. Shasku. So he says, La nishka va batul nitzach hamayim, we can't drink anymore. Shasku. So they couldn't answer. Amalahem. So Rabbi Shua told them, Banai, my Talmidim, bo vi oimalachem, I'll tell you what the story is. Shalodis habakalika yefsha, that's not right. We shouldn't observe abelis at all, that's not right. Shka nigzer o gzera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzera. What nigzer o gzera? What Rashi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzera to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And he instructed us that we have to observe Avelus. Where did he instruct us? Rashi, the Rashbam quotes a pasuk from Yeshaya, chapter Samach Vav. Sisu itom asos kol ha-mesadlim aleho. The Gemara quotes it later. We should all of those who observed Avelus over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, the Beis HaShlishi will be built, so they will all rejoice over the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that the prophet told us, the Navi Yeshaya told us we have to observe Avelus over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what he says. Shalodas Habakalika, not to observe Avelus at all, the Efshah, that's not Prapishka, Nigzer, Gzera. The Navi told us we have to observe. Lishabal Yosemidai, Efshah, Shengos, and Gzera, Tzimah, Kane, Rebbe, Tzibichal, and Lamed, Boy, Tichsib, Aber, Atem, Yoram, Vyosi, Atem, Gov, Makoi, Kuloi. What does that mean? So Rashi explained, the Rajbam explains what it's all about. They made a chumra midrabbanon. It's a Rashi quotes from Malachi. They should bring the maizris to the Beis HaMikdash and distribute it to the Levim. That was a takana that they made. That was a takana. Instead of everybody giving their own maizah to their best friend, to the Levi, or the truma to the Kohanim, they should bring it all, Havius Kalamasa Beisot, to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Rabbanim and the Beis HaMikdash will distribute it evenly among the Kohanim and the Levim. So then the Pasuk says, V'yosim v'osi atem kovim hagoi kulo, loshin kovim means loshin gzela, v'osim atem, Rashi, the Rashbam says, atem gozlim is ha-maisa v'es ha-truma. Where did we steal anything? So the Navi answers, I told you to bring the truma and the maisa to the Beis HaMikdash and they'll distribute it among the Kohanim and Levim. So the Gemara understood from the Pasuk, you make a din de Rabbanon if the whole goy, kulo is ruba kukulo, Rashbam says. If the roif atzibi zicholum lamed boy, then you have a right to make a takana drabbanon. Then we'll be upset if people will violate that takana drabbanon. But if you know in advance, we take a poll, we ask psychologists, and they think it's going to be too difficult. The roif atzibi will not be able to observe this takana. Then you have no right to make such a takana drabbanon. Even if you did make such a takana drabbanon, if in a later generation they realized ein roif atzibi zicholum lamed boy. Then the whole takana falls apart. The Gemara says in Merubah, Baba Kama Perak Merubah, that Ezra, during his lifetime, made 10 takanas. One of the takanas was that the Balkeri has to go to mikveh before he davens and before he learns. In the later generations, in the days of the Tanaim, they repealed the takanas Ezra, and you can learn without going to mikveh, you can daven without going to mikveh. So Tarsus and Orem Shanim ask, when they repealed the takanas Ezra, did they think, usually there's a rule, Ein bezn yochel levatel dibi bezn chavayim ken gadol amena b'chochma v'miyah. A later bezn can only repeal a takana of an earlier bezn if the later bezn is greater b'chochma v'miyah. So did the Tanaim think that they were greater than Ezra b'chochma u'v'minyan? Is that what they thought? So the different explanation is what the answer is. So the Balei HaTosfos give this suggestion that maybe they took a poll and they realized that Rav HaTzibah was just not observing that takana, so they abolished it. A takana that agzeirish and Rav HaTzibah chalam mamad by, so it falls apart. You have no right to make such a gzeir in the first place, and even if you did, if you realize that it's just not never picked up, the Rav HaTzibah never observed it, so it falls apart by itself. So that's based on that pasuk. Amir atem neorim. The Jewish people should be cursed. And you're stealing from me. You're not bringing the trumas and the maaseh. Hagoy kulo. And the whole nation promised that they're going to observe this din. Rav HaTzibur promised that they're going to do it. Rav HaTzibur, ayachalim lamed boy. So the miut are not observing the din. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. To make a gzera derabanan that you can't eat basar, you can't drink yayin, you can't drink water, and you can't eat the peris, the shivas hamidim, shem levim, mehem vikurim. Life is going to be too difficult. It's exeris and rev atzi b'chalam lamabas. So what way should we demonstrate that we are observing avelus? So he says, elakachom achachom. You should limit a little bit how fancy you make your house. Sodanim is base of a sid. Okay? You can paint the house with white cement. However, Mishayimba Dava Muat. You should leave out a little bit. How much is Dava Muat? Amal Amo, and should be Kenegar HaPesa. We had this before about Tzor Tzura, so the by Gershon Meis Mein Lo Yoshim. So his property becomes Efker. So if someone is Sod, Amal Amo, Kenegar HaPesa, so then he's kind of, that constitutes a Kenya Chazok. So here, it's a din and neo gavelus over the base. I mean, this we don't do. Most people don't do this, but it's a real din in Shulchan Aruch. It's not right that we don't observe it. After leave out Amo al Amo, can I get a Pesach? Also, Adam and Demo, if you make a fancy wedding or a fancy meal, also Adam called Tzorch Yisud and Mishai Dalamo, you should leave something out. The meal should not be complete. Mahi, what should you leave out? Amra Papa, Kasa Daharsana. What's Kasa Daharsana? Kasa the house in Igmar and other places, in Beit Igmar, so I think it means you mix the schmaltz from the fish together with flour, and you make some kind of a paste out of it. It's a delicacy. So you should leave out you shouldn't have weddings the way we have. You should leave something out. It should be noticeable that something is missing. And when the women put on cosmetics, also you should call tachshitecha. A woman is permitted to put on cosmetics. However, Mishayera is double much. She should leave something out. My what should she leave out? The Gemara says, Bas Tzidah. They used to put plaster on the sides of the head in order to remove the hair that doesn't belong. So they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't look like movie stars. They should leave a little bit out. What does that mean? Also, we should be noy gavelus. What's our rosh simchasi? Am Rabbi Yitzchak is the efer makle shebirosh chasanim. When a chasan gets married, so the Gemara says that's the practice. You should put efer makle. What is efer makle? The word efer sometimes with an olive. Officially, the word efer means ashes. You burn wood and you make ashes. But sometimes the word Efer appears and it really means offer. It really means sand or dust. So Efer Makle means that you made a fire and you burnt some wood. That's called Efer Makle. You shouldn't take sand and put it on the chosen's head. You should take paper or wood and burn it and then take the ashes and put it on the chosen's head. Where do you put it? Hechamanachla, with part of his head, the Gemara says, Makom Tefillin. He put it where you normally he would put the Tefillin Shal Rosh and Emma. Losum la'avei le'tzion, losis lahem pe'er, tacha sefer. During the whole period of the Churban Bayis Sheni, for so many generations, we have Efer, and when the Goldus will be over and we'll all return to Eretz Yisrael, we will have Losim, La'avei le'tzion, those who are observing Avelus all the years, so we'll put Pe'er, tacha sefer. Pe'er is a reference to Tefillin. Pe'er is a reference to Tefillin. How do you know? Because the Navi Yechezkel was said benevuah in advance that the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he should observe Avelus already now. Al Shem Ha'asim. It wasn't the Churban HaBayis Rishon. Churban HaBayis Rishon didn't take place yet. But because he was told the Nevuah, so he was instructed that he should observe partial Avelus, not full Avelus. So he was told, Percha Chabosh Alecha, you should put on your tefillin. Percha Chabosh Alecha, you should put on your tefillin. A normal Avel is also L'Hanyach Tefillin. Avel Yom Rishon, also L'Hanyach on the first day of Shiva. Not about to wear tefillin, but Yechezkel HaNavi was only observing partial Avelus, because the Tosfos explains why he caught and why, because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed yet. He was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to observe partial Avelus. So the Makom Mitzvah's tefillin he put on. So the Pasuk refers, Percha Chavosh Alecha, he should wear his tefillin. Be'er. The Rambam quotes that there was a practice, this is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, there was a practice that you only don't wear Shal Rosh. The Pe'er is only the Shal Rosh because everybody sees it. The Shal Yad nobody sees. So the Rambam writes that some have a minig on Tisha B'Av that they don't wear Shal Rosh, but Shal Yad they do wear. That minig was not only on Tisha B'Av, that minig was on Shiva Gufa. And the first day of Ovel Yom Rishon, Eina Minich Tfilin, so that minig was that you only don't wear Tfilin Shal Rosh, Tfilin Shal Yad you do wear. But the Rambam doesn't subscribe to that minhag. The Rambam says, all Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin, period. That's our practice. There's a big question. The Ramban wrote the Sefer Torah Sa'odom. The Ramban was a doctor, so he wrote all the dinim that a doctor has to know. So he starts when the baby is born. What are you allowed to do on Shabbos to deliver a baby? Sometimes it's Chilul Shabbos. So he discusses, he quotes all the Gemaras. What are you allowed to do? Then after the baby is delivered, so how do you take care of the baby? Shabbos, he goes all the dinim. When a person is sick, what are you allowed to do? And then he discusses what happens if the doctor is not successful in treating the patient and the patient dies. What are the dinim of Kriya? What are the dinim of Shiva? What are the dinim of Avelus? And then he discusses what are the dinim of Tumas Kohanim? And then he discusses what are the dinim of Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av we observe partial Avelus over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. This is all in the Sefer Torah Sa'odah. So when you learn the end of Yerideya, every section of Shulchan Aruch is based on some other mission, like the first Chelik Yerideya, Shechita, Basav Chalot, Taruvis, Malicha, that's all based on the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. When you learn Hilchos Avelus, everything is really based on this, everything comes from the Ramban. The Rosh quotes the Ramban. The Rosh and Elam Megalchen, the third parak of Moed Katan, has all the dinim of Avelus. The Rosh all the time quotes the Ramban. He discusses whether he agrees or he disagrees. Maram Brit Mergosa has a lot on Avelus. So the Rosh was a Talmud of the Maram Brit. So he quotes a lot from the Maharam. But the whole end of Yerideya, the way it's set up, you have Hilchas Roifim. What is the doctor? When is the doctor allowed to treat the patient? How should he treat the patient? And so on. And what if the patient dies? Tumas Kohanim. The whole system in the end of the whole Seder Hadran, the end of Yerideya, is patterned after the Ramban's Torah Sa'odim. So the Ramban and the Torah Sa'odim quotes this din from the Gemara. Avol Yom Rishon also l'anich tefillin. So the Ramban quotes there was a big machlokes harishonim whether Avelus Shiva is a din deraisa din derabbanan. The Gemara says many times the whole dinim of Avelus are only derabbanan. All the dinim of Avelus are only derabbanan. But the Rambam follows the Rif who follows the Gaonim that Avelus Yom Rishon is deraisa. Where they pick that one up from? That's a din of benoinet. We assume the Rosh presents, that's the first Rosh in Eilu Megalcha, my cotton. He discusses whether Avelis is the Raisa the Rabban. So he says, all the 7 days of Shiva, that's only the Rabban. Maybe Avelis and Rishon is a Din the Raisa. So that's the Rif, the Rambam quotes from the Rif, and the Rif got it from the Goenim, that Avelis and Rishon is the Raisa. So Sfardim follow the Mechaber Paschans like that, that the first day of Shiva is a Din the Raisa, and the remaining 6 days of Shiva is only Midirabban, Shloshim is only Midirabban. And the Ramah says that we follow the Ashkenaz and follow the Bali Atesis, that even the Avelis ambition is only Midirabban. What's the difference of Loch Alamaisa? Avelis, you have to observe Avelis, whether it's a Dindaraisa or Dindirabban. So the official Nafkemina in the Shulchan Aruch is, let's say, this Shita that Avelis ambition is Daraisa, is only if it's Yom HaMisa the Hakvura. The Avelis doesn't begin until after the Kvura. So if a person dies, today is Sunday, if the person dies today and is buried today, which is usually not the case, the din of Chumash is L'sol and Nevlos Alayetz Kovetik B'renem B'yamahu. You're not allowed to leave the person overnight. Halonis HaMeis is not allowed, unless it's L'chvodo. The years ago, they didn't have any telephone. So what do you mean? You're going to wait to get more people to attend the funeral? How are the people in California going to know that there's a funeral? It'll take forever till we notify. But today, they send emails and they call on the telephone. So you want to wait for the funeral until all the children come in. We have a confessor. So today, you hardly ever bury anybody on the same day that he dies. So you never have the kavura on the same day as the Yom HaMisa. That's most of the time. It's very rare that you have the kavura on the same day. So the only time these chachmisvar, the only time the mechaber paskins like the Goinim and the Rif and the Rama, that Avelis and Rishon and Daraisa, if it's Yom HaMisa the HaKvura, the person was buried on the same day that he died, then it's Avelis and Rishon. But if he dies on Sunday and he's buried on Monday, then even the Mechaber Paschal, that it's only Avelis the Rabban. So the big Nafkemin in Shulchan Aruch is, that's what Tosfos Brachos, the big Nafkemin is like this. Let's say somebody dies on the second day Yontif, Chutz Loretz. Or the second day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. So the second day Chutz Loretz is only the Rabbanan. Second day Rosh Hashanah is also only the Rabbanan. Because you fast on Yom Kippur, counting from the first day of Rosh Hashanah, not from the second day. First day of Rosh Hashanah is the Raisa, the second day is the Rabban. So somebody died and is buried on the second day of Yontif with the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So usually one does not observe Avelus on Yontif. The Gemara says why? Because Osi Esei the Rabbim, V'dochi Esei the Yochid. Simchas Yontif is an Esei, the whole Tzibur has to observe Simchas Yontif. Avelis, the Pasuk says, Eilu Yochid Asi Loch. Avelim, the family observes Avelim. That's not on all of Klal Yisrael. So you have a conflict over here. You can't observe both Bevasach. You can't observe both Avelis and Simchas Yontif. It's a stira. Either you observe Avelis or you observe Simchas Yontif. So which one should you prefer? So the Gemara says, if one is an Esed Rabbim, one is only an Esed Yochid, I'll say Esed Rabbim V'dochi Esed Yochid. Esed Rabbim is Simchas Yontif, and Esed Yochid is Avelis. So the Simchas Yontif takes precedence. So Tosis thinks that only makes sense when they're both on the level of the Raisa, they're both on the level of the Rabban. But Tosis thinks so that Yontav Sheni Shal Golias is only Simchas Yontav de Rabbanan, and Avelis Yom Rishon, according to the Goinim, is a Din Deraisa. So you have a conflict between a Mitzvah Deraisa and a Mitzvah de Rabbanan. So we just still say over there that Osi Esi de Rabban, Dochi Esi de Yochid, Esi of Simchas Yontav de Rabbanan takes precedence over the Esi Deraisa of Avelis Yom Rishon. So Tosfos thinks it doesn't make sense. Tosfos thinks the Goinim say that if someone died and is buried on the second day Yontif, since Avelis Yom Rishon, Yom HaMisa Bakfura is Deraisa, so the Din Deraisa, when it's in conflict with the Din Derabanan, Din Deraisa takes Kedima. So Tosfos thinks that it's not right because even Avelis Yom Rishon is only the Rabbanan, and then they're not even so convinced, even if you would think like the Goinim, that Avelis Yom Rishon is Deraisa, how are you so convinced that a mitzvah deraisa always takes precedence over a mitzvah derabbanan? Maybe it's not true. So that's the main machloikas. If somebody died, let's say, the second day of Pesach. Second day of Pesach, Chalamoid, also the Simchas Yontif. There's going to be Simchas Yontif, the whole Yontif. So So that case there's Simchas. You would have Simchas Yontav Deraisa, and Avelis is only the Rabban. So you have Osi Yesed the Rabban, for sure, V'dochi Yesed the Yochid. But what if the person died and isn't buried on the 8th day of Pesach? And Atar Pesach only has 7 days. So the last day of Pesach, the 8th day of Pesach. So then Simchas Yontav is only the Rabbanan. Simchas Yontav is the Reis and Chalamay. Just like on Yontav, Simchas Yontav is the Reis and Chalamay. But on the 8th day of Pesach, there the Simchas Yontav is only the Rabbanan. And Avelus and Rishon, according to the Goyim, would be the Reis. Let's say someone dies and is buried the second day Sukkot. I mean, Atar, even Chalamay Sukkot. Even in Shemin Atzer is also the Simcha the Reis. If someone has died and buried on Simchas Torah is Menat Torah, there's no Simchas Yontav anymore. Yontav was over yesterday on Shmini Atzeres. So then you have the Machlokes, Mechaber and Ramo. So the Sfardim would follow the Mechaber. Sfardim would follow the Mechaber, that they would observe Avelus, Yom Rishon, on the last day of Yontav, because Osi Yesi Deraisa V'docha Yesi Derabon. And the Ashkenazim hold that all of Avelu Shiva, everything is all the Rabban. There's nothing there. So that's the official Nafkamina that you have in Shulchan Aruch that Tosfos talks about. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs quotes an opinion that this din in the Gemara, Ovel Yom Rishon, Einem Enech Tfilin, is only if it's Yom Rishon, Yom HaMisa V'HaKvura. Let's say the Misa is on Sunday and the Kvura is going to be on Monday. So the whole observance of Avelus on Monday is only the Rabban. Even according to the Goyim, Avelus and Rishon Deraisa, that's only if it's Yom HaMisa V'HaKvura. If the Misa was yesterday and the Kvura is today, even the Goyim would say that the Avelus is only the Rabbanon. So the Rabban quotes an opinion that Ol Yom Rishon Enim Enech Tefillin, not allowed to wear Tefillin. We learn it out from Yecheskel HaNavi. He was only observing imitation of Avelus because he was told the Nevuah, Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. But it wasn't destroyed yet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Tercha Chavosh Alecha, you should still continue to wear Tefillin. But a normal person who's really observing Avelus, not allowed to wear Tefillin. So you learn out from that Pasuk. Yeah, but that's only when it's an Avelus Deraisa. When it's not Yom HaMisa V'Kvura, then not. So the Ramban, so there are some poskim who hold like that halacha l'maaseh, like that suggestion in the Ramban. Ramban says that it's only that suggestion is only nitan lehiomer if you follow the shitas hagayim according to the Sfardim, that they hold that avelus yamishon is deraisa. So then you limit the not wearing tefillin to the yom hamisa v'hakvura. But the way the Ashkenazim hold that even avelus yamishon is only the rabbanon. So why should you distinguish between the Ovel Yom Rishon and the rest of the days? So it doesn't really make any sense. That's what the Svarim, they quote Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, said that we don't paskan like that. We assume la'alocha that the Ovel Yom Rishon, the first day of Shiva, doesn't wear tefillin, even if it's not Yom HaMisa V'Kvura, because the Ashkenazim hold that it's anyway not their Isa. So Yom HaMisa V'Kvura doesn't play a role. It's irrelevant, according to Ashkenazim. According to Svarim, it's relevant. Only Yom HaMisa V'Kvura will be Avelus Deraisa. So by Sfardim, there's what to discuss. Maybe they shouldn't wear tefillin. If someone is a Sfardi and a relative dies, he shouldn't wear tefillin only if it's Yom HaMisa V'Kvura. Yom HaRishon if it's Yom HaMisa V'Kvura. But as far as Ashkenazim is concerned, the Ramban writes that the whole thing is irrelevant. That's what they call Rav Chaim said, like it says in the Ramban. I don't think they had the Ramban. Rav Chaim said, I don't think. The one who printed the Ramban was Abisa Zalman Meltzer in Europe. He printed the Ramban and the Chidusha Ramban. And the Torah Sodom was printed together. But for many years, they had Kisra Yad floating around, but they didn't have the Ramban. Now everybody, every library has a Ramban. Abisa Zalman is the one who printed. I think Rav Chaim didn't have the Ramban, but he said on his own like that. Then the Gemara concludes, Miyom Shepashta Malchus HaRishah. The Malchus HaRishah is the Romans. They were forcing everybody to adopt Christianity. So that's called the Malchus HaRishah. Miyom Shepashta Malchus HaRishah Shugazeres Alein Gzeres Roes Vekoshes Mevatels Menetur HaMitzis What is this? What's Shavua HaBein and what's Yeshua HaBein? What does Rashi say? They don't allow us to fulfill what? Shavua HaBein, Mila Shehi B'Sof Shavua, Sof Shiva, the Bris Mila. They used to make Xeris against the Jews. What is Yeshua? Yeshua Pidyon HaBein. Yeshua HaBein is probably the Pidyon HaBein. In Baba Kama, the Gemara refers to Pidyon HaBein as Yeshua HaBein. And Shavua HaBein is the Mitzvah Mila you do at the end of the week. So the Gemara says, we really shouldn't have any, we should make exactly, we shouldn't have any more children. Because if we're just making more children, that the Nazis and the anti-Semites will have more Jews to kill. But what will happen at the end of the day will be when the Jewish people will disappear. So we really shouldn't make such Israel. That's what the Tana says. Why? Really, we should have made such a gzera, but the people are not going to follow that gzera. So we're not going to make such a gzera. So here there's the famous Tosfos. Dinu shenigzer al atzmeinu, that we shouldn't have any children. Tosfos, how can you make a gzera derabanan against the pasuk in the Chumash? It says, pru revu. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So Tosfos says, it doesn't mean you shouldn't aibak si pru revu. So Tosfos, v'shema, I have 9 children. When I had a son and a daughter, I was yotzei. There's a machlokes satanan. How many children do you have to have in order to fulfill pru urevu? Pru urevu. That's a machlokes in the Mishnah. At the end of Perek HaBoyim, in the middle of Yevamah. So b'shilul rab the opinion. If you have a son and a daughter, you yotzei. B'shamay say you have to have 2 sons. That's not a question. Beishamai say, only 2 sons, you have a son and a daughter, it's no good. Mishilva say, you have to have a son and daughter, if you have 2 sons, it's no good. That's the simple pshat in Mishnah. The Yerushalmi says, not so, it's a question. But anyway, I have 9 children. So that's what the Gemara says. After I already was in fulfillment on the mitzvah, Piriviria, we should have made Xera not to have more children. Yeah, where does that come from, that we try to have more than a son and a daughter? So that's based on the pasuk in Koheles that says Baberka Zraas Arecha the Gemara there in the end of Perek Habol Yevimtoi has the whole discussion about Puravu. The Gemara says comment on the pasuk. The pasuk sounds like it's speaking to the farmers. Baberka Zraas Arecha in the morning, the farmer should plant. V'le'erev al Tanachas Yodecha, and even in the evening he should continue to plant. She'encha Yodea, the pasuk She'encha Yodea, ki you never tell which of the 2 plantings will be successful. Maybe what you plant in the morning won't grow well. Maybe what you plant in the afternoon will grow better. So the Gemara applies it to having children. You should have children when you're young, and then you should have more children when you're older, because you can never tell which children will give you nachas. May turn out the older children will be rotten and the younger children will be fine. Maybe turn out that the younger children, the reverse. But then the Gemara says it refers to having talmidim also, Rabbi Akiva had thousands of Talmidim, and then they were all, the Gemara says, they were all, they all died. The Gemara says, Al Shalanoga, Kovet Zebeze. They all died between Pesach and Shavuos, and Pesach Latzeres, because Al Shalanoga, Kovet Zebeze. So all the Mephoshim is, how can that be? Rabbi Kiva was the one who says that the Zat Lakotel Batorah is, we have to Racha Kamecha. If he was always preaching that we have to lach gamecha is the most important mitzvah, how can it be that his talmidim were the ones who violated that? So all the darshanim gave the rushes. So before Rabbi Moshe Feinstein came to America, the big posik in New York is to be Rabbi Henkin. So Rabbi Henkin said, "Nah, the chachamim said that was a code. They meant they were killed by the Romans and the bar kochva rebellion. They were fighting." But they didn't want to say they were killed by the Romans, because the Romans will kill you if you say, now the Polish will put you in jail if you say that the Polish were anti-Semitic during the Second World War. It's a crime. It's a crime to say the truth. You're not allowed to say the Polish were, you're not allowed to say that the Ukrainians were anti-Semitic. They were worse than, they say, they were worse than the Nazis. The Poles were worse than the Nazis also. They were terrible. So the Chachamim were afraid to say this. They said the most ridiculous reason. It's a dead giveaway that's not the real reason. It's obvious they were killed by the Romans in the rebellion of Bar Kochba. So the so the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva had so many thousands of students, and they were all wiped out. And then he met up with five Rabbi Senesha Bidarom in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. There were five Talmidim, and he started teaching them Torah in his old age. After so many years of teaching Torah, he lost all of the students. He taught Torah. And then those five students were the ones who transmitted the Torah to the next generation. So the Gemara says that's the importance, that a Rebbe who's still able to teach Torah shouldn't retire. If he's still functioning well, he should continue to teach. I forgot the lashon there in Koheles, because you don't know which students will be the ones who will be transmitting the Torah to the next generation. Maybe all the older students will be killed. Yeah. So that's called the mitzvah of La'erav Atanach Yadecha. We assume it's not really a chiv. We assume it's amidas chasidus. It's a recommended thing, especially after the Shoah, after the Nazis killed so many Jews. The Nazis killed 6 million Jews that they kept records of. They had records. They wrote down the number that they put on their arm and their address and the city and everything. But there were millions more that they didn't keep records of. They just shot a lot of people. They didn't put numbers on them. I was born in the middle of the Second World War, and I was a little boy. They said the Nazis killed 9 million Jews. Those who deny the Holocaust say they never killed any Jews. That's ridiculous. They killed way more than 6 million. They killed many more. They kept records, clear records of the 6 million. So that's why they talk about this now. Anyway, so that's what Tosfos says over here. Yeah. And others point out that other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos. In Eben Ezra, the first page in Eben Ezra, Siman Aleph talks about the mitzvah of peer review. So they quote that in the days of the Gemara, if a man, women are not mechuyev in peer review. Machlek zatanoim, we pass women are not mechuyev, but men are mechuyev. So if a man is already in his 20s and is not getting married, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, we're koy for him to get married. Exactly how we're going to be koy for him. How's it going to work? I don't know. Today, how's it work? People date forever till they decide whom they want to marry. I don't know. But apparently years ago, they didn't date so long. They just, you march them down the aisle with a girl, sure, a pair of pants and a skirt, and they get married. And then they'll have children. You'll force them to fulfill period. So the Ramah quotes the Rishonim that Bizman Azeh, since Bidinu, Shenigzer Alatzmenu, we really should make a Gzeire that we shouldn't have children. But it's a Gzeire Shen, Rabbi Tzi B'chadam Lama, B'mutim Shisho Ging V'lo Yehum Ezidin. So that's why we're not kaifa on Peru Rebbe today. So you're not kaifa at all. The Ramah quotes the Mordechai in Yevamos and Perek Abam, and you're not kaifa at all. So that's against this Tosfos. Tosfos says that there was never a Havamina that you shouldn't fulfill Peru Rebbe. The Gemara said we should make a Gzeira not to have more than a son and a daughter. You shouldn't fulfill the Erev Atanach Yadecha. But the basic mitzvah that you can't make a Gzeira against. So that's, I mentioned a few times, David Cohen from Flatbush, from Gvul Yavetz, very big Talmud Chacham. So he has a sefer that he printed many years ago, and he sent me a second copy of the same sefer. Someone delivered it, hand delivered. So I said, I have it already. They told me, no, this is an updated copy of the sefer. It has twice as much material. The title of the book is Hataz HaYodua, the famous Taz. The Taz writes in three places in Shulchan Aruch, Achidush in the name of his father-in-law, the Bach, that the Chachamim have the ability to be Oika Dov Manator B'Sheva Al Tase. The Chachamim made Gzera de Rabbanon that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow Shofar. And Sukkot is going to fall out on Shabbos, the first day Sukkot, you don't shake a lulav, even though it's a mitzvah Manatorah. And many dinim like that, they made Gzera de Rabbanon. You're not permitted to put tzitzits in a beged shel pishtan because they had a concern. So the Taz says, in the name of the Bach, and he endorses it, you can only make Gzera d'Rabbanan provided that it's not Kenegadav HaMafurish Batur. It says in the Chumash, you blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say even if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's self-understood. It's self-understood like that because Tkir Shofar is a Chochma Beinu Malocha. So there's no reason to distinguish. But if you have an explicit Pasuk, then you can make Gzera d'Rabbanan Kenegadav HaMafurish Batur. So that's what our Tosfos seems to hold like that. Our Tosfos is of the opinion that they had no ability to make a Gzeira de Rabbanon, that people shouldn't get married, they shouldn't have any children at all. That's Keneged Dov HaMafurish Batur. And other Taisusim and other Masechtas say not so. That's a big, that's why Rav David Kohn quotes many, many Makarvis in the Rishonim. Half of the Tzirak, a big split. Half of the Rishonim hold like our Taisus, half of the Rishonim hold like the other Taisus. So you have the ability to make a Gzera de Rabbana, Kenega Dova HaMafurish Batar. We explained why this story is that not. Because all the Dinim de Rabbana have to be blended in to be an integral chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh on the level of their Isa. So you can't make Gzera de Rabbana exactly the opposite. Kenega Dov HaMafurish Batar. How is that going to blend in to be part of the Torah Shabbat Peh? So that's as far as that's why he called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there. I said Tikkun, whenever the Chachamim make Gzeir the Rabbanan, they use building blocks that exist on the level of their Isa. They don't invent Yesh Meyayin something. Very rare, the Gemara has, very rare that you have a Din the Rabbanan that's not a takeover, that's not built, not an extension of a Din der Isa. Very rare. Because they wanted all the Din of the Rabbanan to blend in, to be part of the Torah Shema Pem and Atur. So the same thing. How can you have a Gzera de Rabbanan, Kenega Dov HaMafurish BaTorah? How can it blend in to be part of the Torah Shema Pem if it's totally contradictory to what it says in the Chumash? So that's the Svara of our Taisus. But there are Taisus in another Masechtas where they contradict this idea. That's a big Machlekas. Yeah, what's this Din? Hanach Lamisab Mutam Shirishay Gigim V'lo Yehum Ezidin. So on the side in the margin, they tell you where else this appears. It appears in Maseches Beita Daf Lamin Abed Aleph, and the letter Tes in this Maseches Hashas. The letter Tes in Beita Daf Lamin. The Gemara talks there about the women who eat on Erev Yom Kippur during this man of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. The Gemara assumes that Tosefes Yom Kippurim is a din deraisa. And it seems that there's some minimum amount of time that you have to be moisif. Bein Hashmashas is, of course, you have to abstain from eating. Bein Hashmashas sofik deraisa luchumra. So apparently, Tosefes Yom Kippur means you have to begin fasting before Bein Hashmashas. And it sounds like it has to be some minimum amount of time. If it's mashu, so what do you mean? The women would eat until Bein Hashmashas? How do they know when Bein Hashmashas is? Everybody has to stop eating a little before Bein Hashmashas. So that's Bataisa writes there in Beit Zadav Lamed. So it sounds like Masif and Michal HaKadosh, there's some minimum amount of time that you have to be Masif. So the women didn't add that minimum amount of time. So Taisa says, it would appear from the Gemara there's a minimum amount of time. They don't know how much the time is. They can't figure out from the Gemara what the time is. So the Achrenim quote the Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf in Beitza daf Laman and Aleph suggests a half an hour. Why half an hour? Because we have dinim in the Mishnah Samach leMincha Gdayla, Samach leMincha Ktana, in the last Perikim Sochim. What is Samach? Samach. So the Mefarshim, the Rashi and the Rashbam learn Samach means a half an hour before. So Samach leShabbos, Samach leYom Kippur. You have to start observing the laws of Shabbos. Samach to a day. Samach usually means a half an hour before. Half an hour before. So somehow that's a din deraisa. Tosefes Shabbos, he should be moisa mechol al hakadosh, 30 minutes. Yeah, that's the Kosher Glover was one of the Gedolim who was killed by the Nazis. He used to be the rabbi in Kosher Glover. That's in Galicia before the First World War. Then his rabbanus, the whole city was destroyed in the First World War. And then Rabbi Meir Shapiro founded the Lublina Yeshiva, so he invited him to be the top Magid Shia. So he gave the shurim there. So he wrote a few svarim. His name was Tzvi Froma, Tzvi Aryeh Froma. So he, his brother donated money to the Gottesman Library. So 5A is dedicating his memory, and they have his picture right on top of the elevator there. I guess the brother donated money. He thought his brother was a Torah Mada man. I don't know. He was a Chassidish, a big tzaddik, a Chassidish. He said Chassidish Torahs and Kabbalah, holy tzaddik. So he writes in his first volume of Eretz Tzvi, that's the name of his farm, Eretz Tzvi. His name was Tzvi Froma. So he writes that he once attended a Knesia HaGdoyla of the Agudas Yisrael, International Knesia HaGdoyla. And the Ger Rebbe was there, and the Ger Rebbe asked him by the Hasidim, they daven late on the Friday afternoon. They daven mincha after the shkia, like they all week long. They daven mincha after the shkia. So he asked, how are we in fulfillment of the din of Masif and Mechol al HaKodesh if you're makabel Shabbos before mincha, you're not allowed to daven mincha, not allowed to daven tefillas chol the Shabbos. So you can't be makabel Shabbos till after you daven mincha. But we daven mincha after the shkia. So how does that work? So he has a long tshuva. He doesn't come up with an answer. The answer should be, you should daven mincha 45 minutes before the shkia, and then you should abstain from malacha for the last 30 minutes before the shkia. If you want to fulfill this sheet of the Rabbeinu Peretz, on Beitza and Daf Lamed, that Masif and Mechol al HaKodesh on Erev Shabbos is somach, a half an hour. So you should daven mincha way before, you should daven mincha early. A few achrayim had this, now it's no longer ksav yad. Now they printed the Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitza. I have a copy. But the Achrayim quoted it when it was still just a manuscript, and they recommended like that, that one should be mekabel to Sefer Shabbos half an hour before. So that's what the Gemara says. If you see the women are eating during the half hour before the Shkia and Erev Yom Kippur, even though they're in violation of the Din Daraisa, first the Gemara thought maybe it only applies to a Din Darabanan. The Gemara says no. Even though Tosefes Yom Kippur is a din deraisa, we even apply it over there. Mutim sheyishoy gigim v'lo yehum mezid. If you're going to tell the women they're not going to listen, that's the last taisa. If it's vada they're not going to listen, then say don't go, don't give the tochach. Mutim sheyishoy gigim v'lo yehum mezid. So the rabbi should never give a drasha and shul to encourage the balabatim to observe anything, because some of the people are absolutely not going to listen. So the din is, Taisa says, if there's a chance that one of the balabatim is going to listen, then you have to give tochacha. But if there's no chance that anyone is going to listen, then taka, you don't give any tochacha. First, the Gemara thought that it only applies to dinim derabanan. The Gemara gives an example of a din derabanan. Then the Gemara says, no, it even applies to dinim deraisa. So the Rashba in the Tshuva says, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi says in the Tshuva, it applies to dinim deraisa, but it doesn't apply to din a mefurish in Chumash. Tosefes Yom Kippurim is not mefurish. It's learned out by reading in between the lines. You establish it as a din masif and mechol al hakodesh.
The Ritva says it on the Omid. The Ritva also on this Omid says that. That's about Rosh Hashanah, I believe.
Only applies.
It applies up to the level of Rosh Hashanah, but not something that's mefurish.
If it's mefurish, then you don't say mutav sheishkai.
So
the question. So the question is, why should there be a difference between a real din deraisa that's mefurish, as opposed to a drasha of the Torah shebal peh? So some say that dinim that are mefurish and chumash are more chomer than dinim that are only established based on midrash Torah nidreshes ben, which may be true, but that's not the reason that the Rashba gives. The reason that the Rashba gives is the following: b'feirish pasuk and chumash. What do you mean mutam shirishoy gigam v'lohiyam zin? Everybody knows what it says in chumash. So it's not true that they're shogim. They're mezidim now anyway. They're doing it amazing. Everybody knows the pasuk in Chumash. But today, the people are ignorant. They don't know anything. They don't know what it says in the Chumash. So today, according to what the Rashba said, the Rashba gives the reason for his din. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the whole Rashba. They just quote the din. They don't quote the explanation. But according to the explanation that the Rashba himself said, it's not because there's a difference between what's mefurish bikro and what's not mefurish. Whatever is mefurish bikro, everybody knows, so they're doing it b'mezid anyway. So then the whole idea, mutim sheyishoy gigim, doesn't apply. Okay, so maybe tomorrow we should start from the Gemara on Ayin Hamid Beis, the last 15 lines. Itmas fina, achlokes Rabbi Shmuel, different topic. Okay? Very good.